Let's look into the Word of God this morning in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, and I want to read to you one verse of Scripture, and I trust that it can be a help to us this morning as we think about the last words spoken by great men, the last words spoken by great men. And of course, as we look into the Word of God, I want to read to you one verse found in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1. And the Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now, our title is taken from the first part of that verse, when he had spoken these things. And throughout the Scripture, there's actually several occasions where individuals had spoken or delivered a letter to a group of people, and it wasn't long after that they were taken on up into heaven. And so just as Christ says that, or as the Scripture tells us, that the clouds received him out of their sight. And so let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I know that amongst this group of people and those that are listening, there I'm sure are burdens and there are problems and there's trials. And there's things that's going on in folks' lives that only you know about. Lord, you also know every heart as to whether anyone needs to be saved. So, Father, I pray that you'll help me this morning just speak as you would have me to speak and preach. And, Lord, you know what message was laid upon my heart. Lord, these are things that I believe are important that your Scripture tells us. And now, Lord, I just pray that no matter what's done or said, that Christ gets glory. We pray for our pastor as he travels and preaches. And help us, Lord, to honor you with everything that we do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last words spoken by great men. I have hanging on my wall in my office a saying that Darla had given me some time back, and it's hanging on my wall, so I didn't look. She always writes on the back of things to where that way I can remember when she gave them to me, and what time period and what date and what occasion. But it's something that I just about read every time that I go into my office to do any type of studying, and I want to read to you this quote. And the quote says, "Live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you." Amen. What a challenge that we have before us. If you had the opportunity this morning to talk to someone or even a group of people, whether it be large or whether it be small, whether you know them or whether you don't, what would you say? Knowing that it might be the only time that you have the opportunity to talk to them, and it might be the last time that they ever hear you. And in this group of people or individual that you might be talking to, there's a lot of things that's going on in their lives. If you're talking to a group of people, you're probably talking to someone with broken homes. You're probably talking to someone that has been in an abusive relationship. You're probably talking to someone with some type of an addiction. You're probably talking to someone with depression. You're probably talking to someone with anxiety that gets anxious. You're probably talking to someone that is carrying very heavy burdens that no one knows about. You're probably talking to someone that maybe is dealing with a terminal illness that only they know or just a few people know. You're probably talking to someone that is fighting loneliness, that is going through a separation, that's heartbroken because of a wayward son or wayward daughter. You see, we are living in very difficult days because everything that I mentioned, there is someone in my life, whether it be that I work with, whether it be a family member or a friend, that is going through those things. And you would probably agree the same. There's individuals that is dealing with relationship problems and addictions and oppressions and anxieties and all those carrying burdens with them and carrying so many things. And we're living in very difficult days, and these things are real and these things are true, and they're in every person's life in some way, shape, or form. So what message could we give them if we were talking with a group of people or even an individual? When it comes to last conversations or last words spoken, I remember one of the last serious conversations that I had with my dad, and I've said this story, but I believe it's worth repeating because it impacted my life. And one of the last conversations that he and I had that was meaningful conversations, meaning we were talking about some serious things. We wasn't talking about, I don't know, catching fish is pretty serious, as to which side of the pond we were going to fish on. But before we went fishing, we were on the way to go. One of the last things that he spoke to me and was very serious with his conversation, he talked to me about my relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, I was saved, but I had drifted away. There was a time in my life that I just wasn't where I needed to be. And I was getting ready to make some very serious decisions that he knew deep down was going to change my life, and it wasn't going to be good. And it was regarding my future. But he didn't begin telling me, you're getting ready to make a mistake. He began telling me and talking to me about my relationship with Christ. You see, the thing about it is, when people are getting ready to make mistakes, generally there's something deeper than that decision they're getting ready to make. Generally, there is something that is causing the decisions that's getting ready to be made is a reaction from where that person is in their life right then. So he was wise enough not to tell me that my appearance looked bad because, I was a teenager, just above a teenager. My hair was a little longer. It looked like I had two or three gumballs in my mouth. And I was chewing tobacco and I was doing all these things and I just wasn't where I needed to be as far as, my relationship with the Lord, and I wasn't overly concerned about how I was dressing, and I wasn't overly concerned about my looks and those type of things. And believe it or not, I had a beard. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It just wasn't me. And my point is, he didn't talk to me about those things, although those things were happening because of what was wrong on the inside. You know, it's one thing to talk to an individual about all their bad habits, but there's always going to be a root to that. And that's what we need to get to, is the root to that. And my dad talked to me about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that was the last in-depth conversation that I had with him. And I'll never forget it. It impacted my life so much that, to my knowledge, I'll never forget it in my life. And I can honestly say, I know what he was talking about. And I understand what he was talking about. And I understand the points that he was trying to make. And the reason that I know is because he was like that too in his life. You see, sometimes if we're not careful, we can forget where we came from and don't realize that you were in the same boat as the individual that you were talking to. You see, we're living in some very difficult days. And Darla and I were just talking about it yesterday as we went into Kernersville later on in the afternoon, and we were just talking about it yesterday. Do you realize that these are some of the most challenging days that we are living in when it comes to getting the gospel out, and when it comes to telling people about Jesus, and when it comes to encouraging folks and lifting up folks and trying to help folks? Because this is why. There are wars all around us. There is a very divided world, and we are even living in a divided nation. The morals have declined tremendously. I would venture to say that the morals have changed more rapidly in the last 10 to 20 years than what it did in the 20 to 10 years prior to that. That's how fast the morals have declined. Struggling people in so many ways. Struggling people. And people are confused. They're confused as to what to think and what to believe and what to understand. There are so many things that's out there. Yet in seeing all these things, we're living in a time that the light of Jesus Christ can be brighter if we choose to help rather than criticize. If we choose to help. You see, we need help being the people that God wants us to be a light to others. You see, we need that help. I need help every day. Because if I'm not careful, my own thoughts, my own things come in that could come in the forefront of talking to an individual when they don't need to hear about me, they need to hear about Jesus. You see, that's the reason I mentioned, what would we say to a group of people that was dealing with all these things that I read to you just a few moments ago? And this morning, I would like to bring you a message and of great men that can speak to us personally in our lives through the Word of God that can help us in these days that we are living in, and to help the generation to come. You see, we look for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back in any moment. There's no question. We see all the bad things that are taking place, and we see those that are against Israel, and we see all these things, and we think, well, how can we stand anymore? And we think these things every day, but we still don't know. And therefore, we have a tremendous opportunity as believers to help others. And we may not help the division that is taking place in such a tremendous division, but I believe that if we can help one person at a time, that's what changes the country. One person at a time. Because you look at the confusion that is taking place, and we don't want to even get into so many things that people are confused about. Because I want you to understand the first thing, and I'll bring Jesus himself up, because the first things that Jesus, or the last words maybe I should say, that Jesus spoke just before he went up into heaven, and that was not other than power. Power. Verse 8, the verse that's prior to the ones that we read, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see, power. We need the power. We need the Holy Spirit. Why is this power so important? Because we are His witnesses. We are His spokesmen. We are the individuals that He saved, and we need to help others. I want you to go back in your life, in your memory, and I want you to think about an individual, or maybe it was two, maybe it wasn't just one, and I want you to think about an individual that impacted your life to get you where you are today. An individual that went beyond their normal routines and went beyond their own things and thought of you enough to help you. I can tell you of different individuals in my life that God put in my life at the right time, at the right moment, to help me and to encourage me and to help me get where I am today. And God used them. Have you ever thought about the fact that God can use you to do the same thing? You can love people. You can help people. You can encourage folks. You can say, "I understand," because there's some things that maybe you folks can understand in life that I've never went through. But there's also some things in my life that I can help someone with that you haven't gone through. But we're giving Christ the glory the whole time, because He's the one that made the difference. He put the folks in your life and in my life. He put those folks in helped you. You see, that's why we need the power. We're His witnesses. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to be His witnesses. And we need His touch in our lives. We need His help. We need His strength. Let me tell you something. We can't do this within our own strength. If we try to do it within our own strength, we're going to fall short every single time. But you see, if we have the Holy Ghost and we're praying and we're confessing our sins and there's nothing hindering in our life, God can use us. You see, we need help to live godly. We need help to treat people in the right way, not just because we're seeing them do something wrong, but we need help to treat them in the right way and loving them. We need help controlling what we say to others. You see, this might be one of the last times that they ever might be talked to. And I would hate to know that there was something that I said that pushed people away from Jesus Christ. That is heartbreaking. When you stop and think that you might be the last person that someone talks to and you say the wrong thing that pushes them away from Christ rather than to Christ. You see, we need help to be an effective witness for Christ, to be effective. And we need the power of God in our life. And Jesus says, "But ye have received power after that is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both." And he even tells them where they're going to be witnessed to Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and all the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, we need to be witnesses for Christ. And Jesus spoke himself great words of wisdom to help others. You see, Jesus can change lives. We can't change lives. As much as we might want to, we can't change lives. I was talking to an individual this week and that was brokenhearted about a situation that they're going through, and they were talking about, I don't know what else I could have done. I don't know how I could change what took place in their life, and it was actually one of their children, and they were to the point of blaming themselves about the condition that their child was in, and what could I have done different, and all these things. And they were carrying this burden with them that was breaking their heart, when in fact, I told the person, I said, it may not have been nothing that you did, but as you ever thought, it was the choices that that child made. It was the choices that that child made to do that. We need the power of the Holy Ghost on our lives, and we need the power of Christ on our lives to help people. We're living in some very trying days right now, and there's some very difficult days right now, and I don't want to hinder anybody. I want to help someone. And the only way that we can help someone is to have Christ in our life to the point of we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us to help individuals. And to encourage and to lift up. And if we're trying to do it within our own power, or if we begin to do it within our own power, we need to stop, because we might hinder more than help. We need the power of Christ, and we need to be influenced of Christ, and we need the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and give us the words of wisdom to help someone. You see, my dad was using words of wisdom. Did he see my life changed? No, but I can tell you that my life changed because of the words of wisdom that he gave. You see, we don't know what kind of impact we're going to have on an individual, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we need the touch of God in our lives, and we need Jesus Christ so real in our life that, as I said before, when they look at you, they're not looking at you, but they're seeing Christ. I'll give you someone else in the Bible. The last words of James were on helping souls. James chapter 5 verse 20. James chapter 5 verse 20. The Bible says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. You see, James was dealing with people that were wandering. In other words, they were saved, but they were wandering. They had backslidden. They had become wayward in their lives. He was dealing with wandering believers, and they needed help. And so his words were encouraging to help those that have drifted away. You say, how can we help individuals? You know, and I don't think, you know, my dad didn't have to tell me what I was doing. Because if you're saved and you know Christ is your personal Savior, you know what you're doing. You know, I knew that I wasn't where I needed to be. So what did I need? I needed prayer. I needed encouraging. My dad was encouraging me, telling me, you know, you're getting ready to make some big decisions. Have you prayed about it? You know, that used to, when I was growing up, that used to aggravate me. When I was getting ready to make a decision and I was getting ready to buy something, and I would be talking to my dad wanting directions, and the first thing that he would say was, well, did you pray about it? And it aggravated me because I was afraid that if I prayed about it, I wouldn't be able to do what I wanted to do. Have you ever thought about that? Amen. That if you earnestly pray about something, that maybe it's not going to be what you think it should be. I needed help, and my dad gave me help with those encouraging words. It wouldn't take much for us to be that same person that has drifted away. We should never take what we have for granted. You should never take your love for Christ. You should never take your desire to be in church. You should never take the desire to helping others and to telling people about Christ. It could cause, there's things in life that could cause you to drift away very quickly if we don't keep our guard up. Because I'm speaking from experience. You see, there's a fine line between helping someone and pushing them farther away. There is a fine line between helping someone and pushing them farther away, and therefore we need to pray, and we need to be what God wants us to be, and we need to pray before we speak. We need His help. We need the Lord's help every day, and we need to love, we need to encourage, and we need to pray for. Because let me tell you something, and you know from experience as well, God can do far more than I can do, because I'm going to fall short every time. I'm going to fall short every time. Number three, the last words of Peter were on spiritual growth. You see, we need to grow in our spiritual life. We need to grow. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." That word grow, grow in grace, grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our spiritual growth is important in our lives. For us to be an effective witness, and for people to see Christ in us, we need to grow in our spiritual life. We need to grow. We live in a time period that says if it feels good, do it. We live in a time period that says if it seems right in your eyes, it's okay. But we know that's not to be true. That's not true. But if we use the approach of this, if the Bible says it's true, then it's true. And if the Bible says it's wrong, regardless of what our feelings may feel. Our feelings don't play a part in what is right and what is wrong, but it's God's Word. Our feelings don't come into play. The world doesn't understand that. You may have family that don't understand that. You may have coworkers that don't understand that. You may have neighbors. You may have friends that don't understand that. But our spiritual growth, reading and studying and meditating and spending time in the Word of God is the way that we grow. And listening to preaching and teaching. You see, as we grow spiritually, we'll understand even more. We'll understand any more. You see, false doctrine is sweeping our land. False doctrine is sweeping our land because it's the lack of spiritual growth. It's the lack of spiritual growth. There are individuals that are in the media and hitting worldwide, whether it be on TV or whether it be on radios or whether it be on the internet, there are people that are proclaiming a message that's always a feel-good message. That as long as you believe something, you'll be okay. And the fact that God is love and all those things, and we know this morning that God is love, because we have to look at the cross to see how much God loves us. But there is also things that are coming in people's lives that if they don't know Christ as their personal Savior, Hell is just as real as heaven. Hell is just as real. You see, false doctrine is sweeping our land because of the lack of spiritual growth. And the Bible says we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. To Him be glory. See, those were the words of Peter. That we need to grow. Spiritual growth, how important is that? Let me tell you something. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way. Regardless of what sounds good, regardless of what ideas that are out there, regardless of what anyone else teaches, the only way to heaven is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what was accomplished on the cross. And not only what was accomplished on the cross, but it was that empty tomb. You see, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with how we feel. How many times have you woke up in the morning or through the day because you're having a bad day? How many times have you woke up and didn't feel like you were saved? More times than not, I'm afraid. But I'm so grateful that my salvation doesn't depend on how I feel, but my salvation is the finished work of Christ, the work that's already been done. Amen. And it doesn't depend upon me. And that's what's so wonderful about the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is we don't have to worry that we had to do anything to get it. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. You see, we can't change a person. We can't change a person. But Jesus can. I remember when we were, I was doing the rescue mission many, many years ago. Angie's daughter Lydia was a little girl. And we took the youth to the rescue mission and I was doing the preaching. I remember, believe it or not, it's difficult to stand in front of folks because you're always trying to think one step ahead that you're going to say something wrong or that you're going to, you know, not say it just right and those type of things and that you're going to make a mistake or that type of thing. Well, I don't remember. It's been a long, long time ago. It's probably been, it's probably in, I don't know, 30 years ago. How old's Lydia? She's 40, so it probably was close to 30 years ago. Wow. 40. Thanks for that. I got to take a deep breath on that one. But I remember I was preaching, and although it was real, and I was applying the message, but I told every one of them men they needed to be shaved. I did. Every time I see Lydia, she reminds me of it. I can't even forget it. But you see, although all those things were real, and they probably all needed to be shaved, the only thing that was going to change their life is Jesus Christ. And they needed to be saved. And then lastly, this morning hurriedly, is the last words of Jude was on divine protection. Divine protection. Jude, verse 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you flawless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Every step of our life is important. There's no hidden step when it comes to God. God knows every step. A parent wants to help their child no matter what's going on in their life. No matter how wayward, no matter their decisions, no matter what, a parent wants to help their child. A parent wants to help their child when it's a baby. A parent wants to help their child as it begins to grow. A parent wants to help their child when they're a teenager. A parent wants to help their child when they're a young adult. A parent wants to help their child when they're adult. And I can go on and on and on. A parent's love and desire to help their child will never change. It will never change. Think of how much you want to protect your child, no matter how young or how old they are. If you see them getting ready to make some bad decisions, you want to help them. You want to encourage them. And it doesn't matter the decisions that they made. It doesn't matter the decisions, the bad choices and all those things. It don't matter. You still want to help them and you still want to love them. You don't want to see them hurt. You want what's best for them, even if it hurts you. Now think about that. You'd rather see yourself in pain than your child in pain. That's what Jesus did for us. He took the pain of sin and placed it on himself so that we have a chance. So that we have an opportunity to be with him. So that we can take everything that we've done wrong and lay it at the foot of the cross, and we can be forgiven for everything. That's what Jesus did for us. We need his protection. We are living in very trying, trying days. And we need his help in so many ways. So many ways. You see, these last words that I've been going over this morning from individuals understood what it's like to suffer. They understood what it's like to live in some difficult days. I challenge you this morning, because of the fact that we're living in difficult days, and we can get wrapped up in the things that's around us, and it's easy to do. And we can get discouraged about all the things that's taking place. But do you ever think about that God has you here for a reason? That God has you here for a purpose? That God has you here to help someone? As we have our invitation, I want to challenge you. First of all, I trust you know Christ is your personal Savior. But second, there's a lot of wisdom that's been given to every one of us this morning if we would just take it from the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. We need His protection. We need His help in our life. And although we see a lot of things that are taking place, it's kind of like me telling those individuals at the rescue mission, they all needed to be shaved, but being shaved wasn't going to help them. Being saved was what was going to help them. So I invite you to come and talk to the Lord, no matter what burden, no matter what you have on your heart. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe you need to be saved. Let me invite you to come, because we have a job to do. And we've got words of wisdom through the Scripture that can help us make an impact in people's lives. Because people need Jesus. People need Jesus. Let me invite you to come. Father, thank you for our time together. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs your help, and they're not afraid to say, Lord, I don't know what to do anymore. I need your help. I need your help because my family's carrying some burdens, and I'm dealing with someone with a broken home or a broken life or dealing with depression. I need wisdom to help that person, and I need help to encourage instead of criticize. Father, as we have this invitation, I pray that if you have spoken to hearts, that they'll come and talk to you and receive that help that they need for the mission that you have before us. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts in a special way. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.